Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Tony from the Red Beer Podcast, and welcome to the finale episode of this season where we have been talking about UFOs and the UFO phenomenon. It's been a blast to discuss theories, and obviously, I got my boy Cooley here for the finale. What's up, bro?
What's up?
Chilling, man. So we are actually going to talk about some really cool stuff today, some stuff that just the one topic in general. I've been super fascinated with Bob Lazar and his story. For those of you that don't know that name or know who he is, Bob Lazar is a scientist that claims to have worked on projects that took place at a base near Area 51 called S4, where he claims to have worked on propulsion technology with actual recovered alien spacecraft, and kind of like testing that and trying to figure out how that technology worked. But after about 6 months of working on these projects, he kind of came forward and was on the news in the 80s and tried to get his story out there and describe what he worked on. And ever since then, his life has kind of been flipped upside down. And people to this day still don't believe his story, have a lot of questions, and but there are some things that we're going to talk about that actually make his story very convincing and are kind of hard to ignore. But right now he has, there's a documentary on Netflix called Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers, and you can also hear him on a more personal level on the Joe Rogan podcast. Normally I wouldn't promote another podcast, but whatever. I mean, like, Joe Rogan doesn't, it's not going to matter.
We don't want to give Joe Rogan any promotion here.
Like, he's got the biggest podcast in the world right now. Like, it matters what I say. All right, man. So with that being said,
we'll give him like 30 more listeners.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, man, let's talk a little bit about, the documentary itself, because I feel like you and I've always had a different interest in this phenomenon and UFOs and all that stuff. And this isn't necessarily about UFOs. It's more about the technology that he worked on, and whether or not we think his story is true. So,
yeah, I mean, I think we have the same level of interest. I just think we have interest. I think we just have different levels of actual, like, belief.
Right? Yeah, that's a good way to put, like, it, actually.
Because I'm interested in all of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I find it all interesting. I find it all, fun to discuss and fun to look at and whatnot. Like, in most cases, like, I thought this documentary in particular, I thought was a little draggy. Like, they broke it up in really weird ways. Like, they had that weird guy that was like, "I am a demon from hell. Listen to my poetry." Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah,
that
blah,
was a little odd. Like, so you know who that was, right? That
was Orson Welles. No, like,
dude, I didn't know this until the second time I watched it. That was Mickey Rourke.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I was like, why is he? Yeah, it was really odd. I thought that was kind of unnecessary, to be honest with you. And like the beginning where he's in like a bathroom with this weird lighting reading text messages. Yeah, I'm like, that's why I said, like, when you watch a documentary, dude, like, just deal with the first 10 minutes and then it actually gets to be like a documentary. I was a little too, it was weird. But
dude, like, if they just like stayed on track and stayed on topic with this dude, like, it would have been a way more interesting and way more fun documentary to watch. Yeah. But all that shit that they did in between, like, it took me right out of it. And like, that, those were the things that I found boring, you know, not necessarily the content of the documentary. Yeah. Like, I want to do like an edit of this, like, where you can just like cut all that crap out and just have like straight Bob Lazar. That would be dope.
Yeah. No, I mean, I really agree with you. I mean, yeah, there were parts of this documentary that were weird and whatever, but when you actually get down to, like, and you focus on what the actual topic is, it's super interesting. And I recommend, if you have the time, is to listen to Bob Lazar and the director of this film on the Joe Rogan podcast, because you get to hear him in more of kind of like a real, just like, talk setting. And Joe Rogan obviously, like, calls him out on his BS or what he claims to have, you know, he really has questions about, you know, to try to find maybe like loopholes.
Right.
Sometimes the director's not making sense and he's like, "You're not making sense. Can you please like re-explain that?" So you get to actually, questions that you might have, he does a really good job with asking him like reality questions. But I think the most interesting thing for me, this is probably one of the most real stories I've heard out of anybody before. Mm-hmm. And I think what captures my attention is this guy doesn't really seem to be, it doesn't seem like he's actually just making up anything. He goes through exactly, he knows like all of his facts are in line. He's told this story since the 80s multiple times.
Right.
And his story never changes. If you're making something up, usually people will tell like a different version of the story, but like it hasn't really wavered in any way. You know, he doesn't regret coming forward with the information, but you know, he feel like it has negatively impacted his life. Because you know, he's got like weird people kind of reaching out to him. He's, I think one of his biggest regrets is not actually being able to work on this, these like special projects anymore.
Right.
I think let's talk about, you know, this in stages. So first, he worked at a place called Los Alamos, which was a lab where, he basically worked on like this giant, half a mile long. It was I forgot what the name is, a particle
reactor.
Yeah. So it's one of the biggest ones. And they and then from there he got a job. He got interviewed for a job at a place called EG&G, which was an interview for this special project. And one of the reasons why I think he actually caught attention is that he's got like a reputation for just doing like really crazy things. Like he actually put like a rocket on the back of like a motorcycle, like a bike.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
You know what I mean? Like he just like liked working on these weird things, and he was in the newspaper for doing that. So I feel like that kind of caught the eye of some people and were like, okay, this guy like thinks outside the box.
Yeah, wasn't his nickname Bobby the Jet or something like that?
Yeah. So they, I think, you know, these people caught wind of it and were like, okay, this is where he works. Let's interview him for this project. You know, he might have an outside box kind of thought process as to how maybe these things that we can't figure out work. So he gets brought in, and you know, he gets brought into this hangar on his first day, and he walks by this like flying saucer, which has like a United States flag on it. And he was like, oh, this is hilarious. You know, this is what they've built and they've been using to kind of like fly around, and people think it's a flying saucer, not realizing that it was actually a recovered flying saucer. And he like walked by and touched it and got like reprimanded that day for touching it. And he was like, okay, that's weird. But then they sat him down. He went through like 2 days of paperwork. When he finally got to work on it, he, you know, I think the interesting thing is that like it was so compartmentalized. They didn't allow him to talk to, like, he was working on like propulsions and how this thing actually, its power source, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't allow him to ask many questions. They wouldn't allow him to talk to anybody else who's working on like a different portion of the project, which I found very interesting, is that he said, when you compartmentalize things, that's like the worst thing you could do from a scientific standpoint, because if people can't have free discussion, then that basically slows down the scientific process dramatically, because
you can't do shit.
Yeah, you can't discuss with other people what their progress is, what your progress is, and try to work together.
Hmm.
And
you know, you can't even be like, oh, I think I discovered that there's a shut up.
Yeah,
exactly. So, don't tell me your theories.
Exactly.
All right. So I'll just keep looking at it then, and
yeah. And there was this one guy that he worked with, Barry, and he said that it was like, that was like his lab partner. And they said that like, he's like, you know, we worked really weird hours. You know, they would basically call me and say like, hey, we need you down at like the hangar at like 11 o'clock at night. And he would have to be down there and work maybe like 3 days in a row. He's like, it was just like this weird schedule.
Can't talk or ask questions or like communicate, like, what are you working on? What are you doing?
So they, yeah. And they, like,
what
and
can you do?
And that's one of the things, that's one of the questions that was asked of him is, you know, But to that, before we get to that, he basically said, you know, so I would show up at like weird hours, and the guy that I worked with, Barry, he goes, he had been there for a while. He goes, and he kind of acted like he had been there for a while. You know what I mean? Mm. When he said that, it just kind of reminded me of like, it was Dr. Oaken from Independence Day. You know, the guy that like doesn't get out much. But he said, yeah, you know, we basically were working on this reactor, you know, and we were trying to figure out exactly how this power source actually was being generated. And when you don't necessarily know how it works, you're just trying to come up with every single type of test you can run to try to get some sort of information.
Right.
But this flying saucer, I mean, he basically said it was, he couldn't ask any questions as to like where it came from, but they did present him with like documentation that he had to read through. And he said he doesn't remember it verbatim, but he says when reading through the documentation, there was something about how this particular flying saucer came from the reticular star system, or the Zeta star system. And that's pretty much all he remembers seeing. And he was kind of like, ah, well, that doesn't, oh, like, cool, like, whatever. Like, he thought that actually this information he was reading was something that they were going to test him on to see, like, how much information he could remember. So he didn't really take it. He took it with a grain of salt. But, you know, working on this, he was like, it really is unbelievable because it's definitely not from our world. He's like, because we're working with a trying to figure out a technology that we literally don't have. Right. He's like, this could create basically anti-gravity. He goes, and we don't have the means to do that. You know, he's like, we've never been able to create our own gravity. He goes, and that's just impossible. He goes,
so like basically would he, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole process though. Like would he and like these other scientists like write stuff down? And
it then was like one other person that he would work with.
That, I mean, would they give it to like the head honcho and then they would take everything and try to piece it together and so make heads or tails of it?
So they would give, he would give the information to like the person that he worked with, and that person would basically, he's like, I don't even know what happened to it. He's like, we gave it to somebody. He goes, and I don't know if the other departments that were involved saw it. He goes, I really don't know. It was just our job to go there and do whatever we could to find out exactly how this worked. He goes, and run every test possible. He goes, but I don't know if anybody else was working on like what they were possibly working on. My job was propulsion and the reactor. He goes, that was what my job was to figure out. And he said that the only other, and he was asked, you know, did you ever see any other, you know, crafts? Or, and he said, yes, there was one particular day where I went in and all the hangar doors were open. He goes, and I counted 9 different crafts. And he said they all looked completely different. He goes, and one of them, he goes, I can only describe it. It kind of reminded me of like a Jell-O mold, like with the ridges in it. He goes, that's what I remember actually seeing. He goes, but they were all completely different. He goes, and I must have been told this at one point, but I remember hearing or reading that it, one of them was recovered from an archaeological dig. Mm. He goes, so if that's really the case, he goes, then it's not just old, it's most likely ancient. He goes, and it was recovered. He goes, so, you know, he says, but I can't be sure because I wasn't allowed to ask questions. So he, the only other thing that he, one of the things that he mentioned that I thought was pretty cool is that one day somebody came in and said like, hey, I need we're gonna actually run like a test flight. He goes, and I want you and Barry outside to watch it. So he went out and the craft was already there. It was just outside the hangar, like floating or sitting there. He goes, and you know, he's like, it was really weird for us to kind of see it actually in action. He goes, and there was somebody inside the craft operating it. He goes, and somebody outside the craft actually was communicating them with them via radio waves. He goes, which doesn't make any sense. He said, we couldn't figure it out even after we went in and kind of discussed it. He's like, because if you are inside a craft, he goes, that is creating its own gravity. He goes, basically, there's like a force field around the craft where it's basically allowing it to actually hover. He goes, and that force field itself should prevent any type of radio waves to get into it. He goes, or come from it. He goes, so we still don't understand how somebody was communicating with somebody inside the craft. So there was probably another department that he wasn't privy to that basically knew how this stuff worked. I think the interesting thing, though, is that after everything that he's described and everything that he's actually talked about that he worked on, there are things that he's talked about that people in the 80s said were bullshit, and they have finally come out to be real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's one of the things that you took away from it? Like, one of the things that he talked about that finally became, like, real? Like, when you watched it?
I mean, like, we talked about it before, like, the hand scanner thing.
Yeah.
Was weird to me because, like, I guess I misunderstood and thought that they were saying that it was supposed to be advanced technology, like alien technology or whatever. Right. So when I saw it, I was like, fuck that. That shit ain't fucking
alien
technology. That
shit, right.
That shit, like, it looks like a turnstile from the subway. Like they just modified it, you know, threw some extra slots on it and was like, here you go.
Yeah.
Hand scanner. That's from space.
No, I mean,
I was like, screw this. This is totally fake. But I mean, if it was supposed to be like, you know, like the government created it and like that's, I mean, sure, that was something that was interesting to me that came out later and like was supposedly proven true when everybody doubted that it was true when he first said it, you know?
Yeah, everybody said like it was fake. This hand scanner didn't like basically exist. He kept describing it as something, you know, it had like ridges and like pins and you would actually place your hand on it and it would project this light which would measure, you know, basically like the size and the length of the bones in your hand, which are unique to everybody. And that was a way to ID them. And so every day he walked in to S4 to work on this project, he would have to place his hand on the scanner and get in and you know, nobody believed him. And then finally, you know, in this documentary, the director, I was able to track down now like pictures of this scanner that he was talking about, and he showed it to him and he was just like, oh my God, I've been trying to tell people about this for years and nobody believed me. He's like, I can't believe you found this. That's exactly what it was. So the fact that came out, the other thing too is, you know, they basically found out that one of the power sources for this craft was something called Element 115. And that was what they believed was how this craft basically ran and how it actually created this energy. And Element 115 is something that he tried telling people about for years. And everybody said that he was complete bullshit. And in 2001... Element 115 basically ended up being on the periodic table. And he was like, that's exactly what I've been telling people about since the 80s. So like 23 years later, this element ends up on the periodic table as something that's been verified. So how would you know about something called Element 115? And then it ends up 20 years later on the periodic table. Like, you're only privy to that information if you probably have access.
Well, what is Element 115, like, on the periodic table? Do you know?
So
it's not called Element 115.
No, it's something called, and I'm going to mess this up, but Moscovial, or you could probably look it up.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, but it's on the periodic table, and I guess it was Russia was the first were the people to actually get it onto the periodic table, from what I understand, from a scientific standpoint. So, you know, how would you know about something unless you worked on a special access project? Something like that.
Unipentium?
Yeah.
Something like that. Unipentium? Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually sounds right. So, I mean, but how would you know about that? Like, how would you know that that's actually a thing unless you're involved in a special access project that has access to that information? And then 20 years later, it ends up being on the periodic table. Like, those, that right there is, that is something that kind of stands out as like, okay, well, maybe this guy actually isn't full of shit. And then, so you have the Element 115, right? You also have the hand scanner that he talked about that came out also almost 20 years later, right? And then the other thing is the way that he actually got caught and the reason he actually got kind of kicked out of the Special Access Project mm-hmm. is because he was actually privy to the flight schedule, right? Because they wouldn't necessarily fly these crafts to other countries or whatever. Like, these were things that they would only test on Wednesday nights because, like, over the mountain ranges, because they found out that Wednesday nights were the night where there was the least amount of highway traffic, where anybody would actually notice these things in the sky, right? And he had the flight schedule. So, you know, his friends that basically didn't believe him, he said, listen, you know, I'm gonna show you guys that I'm actually telling the truth. This is what I've been working on. So they basically went out to kind of like the middle of the desert, and he had the flight schedule, and he was with six other people. And he was like, at this time, this is what's going to happen. And they saw something in the sky, which to this day, they all verify they saw. It literally was up in the sky and was doing like different moving patterns. And he said, there's nothing in that we actually have created that can move like that. He goes, it's impossible. And he goes, and Joe Rogan made a really good comparison. He goes, it's like, picture putting a laser pointer on the wall and moving it around. He goes, it's not really bound by any kind of gravity or anything. It just moves where you put it. He goes, this is exactly how this craft would move. And Bob Lazar brought up a really good point. He was like,
was Joe Rogan one of the six people?
No, he was one of the video you can actually find online too. The video of this craft. If you look up like Bob Lazar, like S4, like, but he's like, it's hard to kind of compare it to anything that's that we have today because it was filmed in the 80s. So if you look at the footage now, it's not going to be impressive because it's like done on an 80s like huge like handheld shoulder camera. You know, it's not like filmed with like an iPhone 10 or like something crazy. So it's going to look crappy, you know, but the movements itself of the light are things that, you know, we can't do with any craft. And the really cool point that I thought he brought up was that if you are in a craft that has, you know, like its own kind of force field or like gravity around it, which is actually controlling it to move, then you're not going to be bound by any, you know, forces of like inertia and things like that. So you're not going to be like shuffled around. Like, you could actually stay completely centered and this craft can move as fast as it wants in any direction and you're not going to be jostled around. So I think that's actually really cool. To know the science behind that. I don't know, man. I mean, there's just like, you can watch the documentary and see all this stuff, but I mean, this is just one of those guys where I just don't feel like he's lying, man. I mean, I feel like he's telling the truth. He's very calm when he tells the story. He's got all of his facts in line. He seems like the type of dude that, you know, has too many things that he's talked about. I mean, like the flight schedule, for instance, it's like, how would you have access to a flight schedule and know the exact time and location of when these things are actually going to be visible in the sky? You know what I mean? He brought people in there. Like, he said it happened exactly when he said it was going to happen and where it was going to happen. How would you know that unless you had access to a special access project? The other thing, too, is that's the reason why he got caught. He's like, we went out there, like, I think three times. He goes, in the second time, we, you know, he's like, we started getting a little crazy, like on the third time, he goes, I think we brought out like a motor home. He goes, and we're like standing outside of it and we're talking, he goes, and I think we just, me and my buddy started talking crazy, like, oh, like it would be cool to like break in there and like steal the flying saucer. He goes, and right when we were talking about that, this green light, he goes, literally like in front of us, like lit up, dropped and rolled towards us. He goes, and we were like trying to figure out what it was. He goes, and basically what it was is that there were a group of guys that were like military that were literally about 30 feet away that were like in complete darkness with night vision cameras listening to everything we were saying. And one of the guys dropped his night vision goggles and it rolled over, and that's how we saw them. He goes, but literally is like they kind of like turned on they're like flashlights and stuff, and there's like seven or like 10 guys there that have been like there the entire time. He goes, and then we basically got brought in and debriefed and all this stuff. He goes, and I got kicked off the project. He goes, I wasn't sure they were going to kick me off. He goes, because they brought me into where I was working. But then, like, shortly after that, he goes, I wasn't allowed back. You know, so, I mean, and that's when he kind of feared for his life that they were going to do something. So that's why he started telling everybody, you know, about what he had seen and all this stuff. So that it was kind of like it was almost like a safety on his life. You know, like, if they kill me, then it's actually going to make what I say seem somewhat true. So right. That's why he started actually coming out with all this stuff. So, I mean,
think about it, though, man. Like, so I have a theory about why he is so, like, more believable, so much more believable than the other, like, people telling stories and stuff like that. And I mean, bear with me, because it's going to start off in a place that I've gone before, and I don't want you to, like, roll your eyes and be, like, dismissive of it and shit. I just want you to hear me out.
Yeah, go for it.
So when you watch, like, Iron Man and, like, Captain America and Spider-Man and, like, these larger-than-life superheroes, right? Like, you kind of, you suspend disbelief and you watch the shit, but you don't say, oh my God, there's an Iron Man out there. Like, there's a Spider-Man, there's a guy that can climb walls and whatnot, right? Like, you know that that's unattainable, right? Like, so, like, it just sounds way too, like, fantastic to believe, right? So you have that high level of superhero. But then when you think about maybe the Netflix shows, like Daredevil, before he got the costume, like, it's just a dude with, like, this fucking mask on, like, that he made out of, like, maybe a do-rag or something, right?
Right.
And like, he can fight really well. Like, that's really, like, all it really was, right? Like, yeah. He was running around just beating people's asses and getting his ass kicked, right? Yeah. Totally street level, totally believable. Like, he's just in the real world, right? Like, and then they mention somebody like the Hulk. Like, oh, remember when the event happened or whatever it was. Like, however they said it in the Netflix shows. But they would always say something like, oh, the New York event or whatever. And then, like, you know, this happened. Then you're like, oh, well, this is ground. Now it's all kind of grounded in this reality that you can believe in. So I kind of liken that to this dude. This dude is kind of like that street level hero. He's like the Daredevil of the tin hats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's like the Daredevil of the tinfoil hat people that, like, instead of coming out and just being like, oh, there's aliens and they're all, like, visiting us and blah, blah. This guy's like, well, I don't know about aliens, but I mean, I worked on some really cool technology and this is what I did and blah, blah, blah. And then it became more of just this conspiracy thing where we all agree that the government is shady as fuck. So, like, you can't really dismiss that. So, like, you start to wonder, like, is a lot of the stuff that this guy's saying true? Because he's not saying this, like, outlandish shit. Like, oh, like, you know, I saw, you know, a three-eyed gray alien that was 4'3" and you know, spoke Gnipkinop or whatever, right? And like, and that's not what he's saying. Like, he's not he doesn't sound like he's off his rocker. He sounds like a rational human being, except for a couple of times in the series where I was like, yo, this dude's starting to sound a little crazy. But then, like, he reels it in. Like, there was a moment when, like, he was just, like, I think he was starting to get really, like, frustrated and, like, yelling at the dude that was conducting the interview.
It was that when he was at his house, right?
Yeah, and he was like, say what you mean. And he, like, stood up and he got all, like really agitated. And it was like, that was really, like, kind of like a crazy person moment, but I kind of dismissed it. I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe he's just, like, fed up with people, you know, beating around the bush or whatever. But it still seemed... Well,
the reason, not to cut you off, but the reason why that happened is because the guy was saying, like, well, if this really happened, or, like, people say that it didn't happen, He's like, because of this. And then he was like, yeah. He's like, but do you have any evidence to back that up? He goes, because when you make a statement, he goes, and say that it didn't happen because of this, he goes, then you need to have facts to back it up. He goes, but nobody has any facts. He goes, why do you think, he goes, I would be telling this story for years? He goes, if it's impacted my life negatively the way that it has. He's like, I have no reason to lie about this. He goes, you know, they've... And it's like, the funny thing too is that they've gone to, like, places that he's worked, like the Los Alamos place, they basically can't find any record that he ever worked there or like any of his, like he went to school for electronics and physics, obviously knows what he's doing because he's a scientist, right? Like right now he basically like has a lab where he makes professional fireworks. Like you have to be a physicist or and know what you're doing to make that stuff without killing yourself, right? And you can see him doing this stuff. I mean, he knows his shit. So he's like, you know, I worked at Los Alamos on this, and they basically say, oh, like, we don't have any record of him ever going to these schools. We don't have any record of him ever working here. But then they found newspaper articles where he's in one of the pictures, and they found a phone directory where he's listed as one of the employees. Mm. So why was his identity erased from Los Alamos?
Again,
very weird.
Again, the government, shady as fuck, and nobody denies that, and nobody can argue with that. The nature of what he was doing, and like, was it alien technology, and was it like, and the cool thing about him is that he doesn't claim that it's alien in nature. He just says, I don't know where it's from, right? Like
he said that
it's from like
the Zeta Reticular star system is what he read, but he said what we have, he goes, is definitely not from Earth. He goes, it's actually from another civilization. He goes, the fact that we're not telling people about that, he goes, is a crime against science. And that's the main reason that he came forward with this, because he felt like to have this stuff and not tell people, he goes, is a crime against the scientific community.
So I think I don't really know much about the actual like person that came up with this or the actual equation. It's called the Drake equation.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was telling me about this today, a buddy of mine at work.
I've heard of it, but I forgot what the basis is.
And basically, it's an equation that I'm not even going to begin to break down because I can start reading it and telling everybody about it and blah, blah, blah. But y'all can look it up on Google, and it's the Drake equation, and y'all can read about it and try and decipher it if you want. I don't care about the math. I care about what they're saying, what they're trying to get across. And the point of the whole thing is basically that there's a very, 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 very slim chance that we exist at the same time, as a, you know, hyper intelligent civilization somewhere else in the galaxy. It's not denying that there's ever been anything, and it's not denying that there never will. It's not saying that there never will be, but it's saying that the chances of two existing at the same time is slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So like they're saying like it's a 53% to 99% chance. It's a large window, but it's like it skews on the other side of 50%, right? All the way to 99% chance that we are the only intelligent civilization in the universe at this point in time.
See, I'd like to understand the math behind that, because I just feel like that makes no sense.
I think it makes sense in the way that civilizations come in cycles, I believe. You know what I mean? And you have like great civilization, like especially on Earth, like for instance, like, you know, we had every great civilization had, you know, its high point, and it had its demise. You know what I mean? And it rose to power and it fell apart. And I think it's the same way, you know, universally, like in the universe, I believe there's room for one civilization at a time, and we rise and we fall, and something else rises from the ashes, or something else rises at a different time, or maybe overlaps, where like right now we are like, you know, maybe the most intelligent thing in the universe. And then as we start to phase out, like there's already something that's in its primordial stages. You know what I mean? And starts to grow and starts to evolve and starts to become intelligent and does its thing. And we started to evolve at the time that something else was on its way out.
No, I don't know, man. I get what you're saying. I don't really agree with it. I just feel like the universe is so large and so vast, and there's so much we don't know about it, that it just wouldn't make sense, in my opinion, to be the only civilization that that is out there at the same time as another one. I'd have to see the math and have to have somebody explain it to me, because it literally doesn't make any sense, in my opinion. But I mean, I've heard of the Drake equation, but that's probably the best explanation I've heard of it. I think that's interesting, but I think, you know, it's, and I know what you're saying about, like, you know, when you watch like Marvel movies, like you're in this alternate reality where you, once you hear that it takes place in that reality, you're willing to like accept more things because it's like, oh, well, it's the Marvel universe. So like superheroes, so of course he can like fight without seeing. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you automatically suspend disbelief. Totally.
Well,
no.
With that one, yeah. What I was really getting at was that they're a more grounded superhero. So like, if you haven't seen or you don't believe in superheroes, you see this guy
who's, as somebody who's more realistic, identify with.
Exactly, and that kind of grounds you so that the other shit becomes a little bit more acceptable. And yeah, you can accept that this guy might actually exist. Like, who knows? You could go outside tomorrow and see some guy either whooping ass or getting his ass whooped for trying, mm-hmm. which is all Daredevil was doing in the first season. Like, he actually, like, he got his ass handed to him
right
several times. You know what I mean? And like, had to get stitched back together by Claire, right?
Yeah,
the night nurse.
Yeah
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
And like you see something like that, and it's like it's believable. It's like it could happen. Like that's some, like maybe not the I can see, you know,
I can run across buildings, you know, exactly, without seeing anything. Yeah,
right.
Okay, cool.
Maybe not that, but I mean just a dude in a mask, right? Like
yeah,
just fighting people for thinking that they're doing the wrong thing, right?
Yeah.
Like that's something that could happen.
A guy in a suit of armor
flying around,
yeah.
You're gonna scoff at. You're gonna be like, yeah, okay, that's not gonna happen, right? But
yeah,
a guy's walking around in the street with a black suit on, like just whooping ass or getting his ass whooped.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So this guy's Daredevil.
The
version of that. Yeah,
yeah,
I got you.
This guy's the tinfoil hat version of Daredevil, where it's like he's just telling you what he did for work.
Right.
This was my job. And like you can totally get behind that. You'd be like, oh, this guy worked on shit that we've never
seen before. But how do you explain? And I'm not saying you're gonna have, I'm not saying like how do you personally explain, I'm saying mm-hmm. in general. I feel like I've done that a lot of the season. I apologize. I'm kind of like, yeah, well, explain this. And like, I know you can't, but I mean, like, but it's
thank
like,
you.
Yeah,
thank
but,
you.
But it's also like, I get frustrated because you don't believe in shit. And I'm like, yeah, well then explain this, bitch. But like, and you can't, I'm like, see, because I get frustrated. But like, but no, what I'm saying is like, how do you explain the shit that he fucking said ahead of time? That then can't, dude, there's like how do you know a flight schedule? How do you know about element 115? Yeah, the hand scanner on a smaller scale, but still, dude, like how do you know about this shit way 20 years in advance?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like,
how do you know that?
I'm saying I believe that he's experienced a lot of this stuff, right? What I'm not believing or not 100% on board with is where the stuff came from. I mean, think about it. Like, how much stuff has the government worked on?
Yeah.
Right? That we didn't know about.
Yeah, but dude, he's right? also... All right, I get what you're saying. I know where you're going with that. Like, how the government's shady as shit, right?
Fuck,
but like,
how many times do we have, like, an iPhone that we... That Apple's been working on for fucking 3-4 years that we don't know shit about until like a couple months before it comes out. You know what I mean?
True,
like,
yeah.
Think about it. Like,
no, people, they're ahead of us. I totally get it.
People keep things secret, man. Like, that's the fucking nature of big business and government. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's true. But I mean, I think for me, these are all very good points. You know, you bring up like, okay, he definitely has a lot of things he's experienced, but like, when you get down to it, like this other stuff, like the actual craft stuff that he claims he worked on, is that actually true?
Yeah. I mean, it's like the craft stuff. The craft stuff could be true, but where's it from? That's what I want to know. Right.
But that's the thing. He's like, I was not in a position to ask questions. He goes, even if I asked questions, they wouldn't tell me.
Mm.
He's like, my job was to go there and run as many tests on this and figure out how it worked. He goes, and we couldn't figure it out while I was there. He's like, the technology that they have, he goes, is unbelievable. It doesn't, there's no, the other thing that blew my mind, he's like, there's no wiring. Like, none of these things are attached by wires. He goes, I went into the spacecraft, he goes, and it's like everything is there's no right angles. He goes, it almost looks like wax melted. He goes, there's no right angles. He goes, it's like, I couldn't stand up in it. He goes, it's definitely meant for something that was smaller. He goes, there were three seats. He goes, in the middle. He goes, that were meant for something that I would assume would be like 3 or 4 feet tall, maybe. He goes, I could only kind of stand up when I was in the middle of the craft because there's like this, it comes to almost like a rounded like bulb at the top. He goes, where I could kind of stand up. He goes, but I was able to go in once. He goes, to look underneath the craft. He goes, and see exactly to get some understanding of where these, like, this reactor was placed, so maybe I could get a better idea of how it was actually talking to me, communicating. And I thought that was interesting. He goes, but nothing's connected via wires. He goes, but it still is able to create this gravitational, like, force. He goes, where, you know, it's able to power itself. He goes, and this element 115 is you know, basically the fuel source. And the other thing that I thought he mentioned was really cool, he goes, when you're dealing with a power that can create its own gravity, he goes, in like a reactor, container to speak, he goes, you're generating in a massive amount of power. He goes, the amount of power that has, he goes, has to be unbelievable. He goes, we don't have anything. He goes, today, he goes, that is that powerful. He's like, so, he's like, to work on something, he's like, anything you have, your phone, he goes, anything that creates any kind of power that we use today does create some form of heat. He goes, if it's your headphones that you're listening to, he goes, your iPhone, your car, he goes, it's all generates some form of heat. He goes, we're dealing with a massive amount of power that we can't even create. He goes, and it creates no heat whatsoever. He goes, that is impossible. He goes, there's no way you can be working with that amount of power. He goes, and create no heat. He goes, that's nothing. He goes, we couldn't understand how that was possible. He goes, we basically move forward because we're pushing fire out the back. He goes, that's actually how we use cars, like how we use rockets, you know, jets. He goes, they're using a completely different set of physics to move this thing. He goes, and we could not figure it out. He goes, so it just got to a point where, you know, we just tried to run every single test that we could. He goes, but we couldn't understand how this worked. And I guess apparently he was replaced because the guy that he worked with, he's like, I wasn't able to get too much details on it. He goes, but from what my partner told me is that there was some type of catastrophic accident. He goes, where the guy that I think I replaced died because I think what he heard is he tried to cut into the reactor, which is like the worst thing you could probably do. He goes, and I think that he ended up like getting killed by it, by the power that came out of it. He goes, he's like, I don't know why you would try to do that. He goes, but I think they tried to maybe see inside of it, or he had some idea, but whatever. He goes, I heard something along that lines happened, and that's why was able to get this position and take his place.
Yeah.
I just think like this guy has a lot of great points. He has a lot of great physics. My gut tells me that he's telling the truth, even though like there's a lot of wackadoodles out there, man, that like say that aliens come and visit them in the night and shit, and like, oh, I was abducted, and who the fuck knows if that's actually true. But like, this dude like has a lot of like scientific facts to back up the stuff that he's working on. And the other thing is that in the middle of this documentary, he's been very, very careful about this. Even in there's one point in the documentary where the director tries to ask him about 115, if he ever took any 115 off the base, and he's like, I'm not gonna go there. And he decides not to talk about it. And then Joe Rogan asks him about it, and he was like, he goes, I have to be very careful about how I talk about this. He goes, because I don't want to admit to something. He goes, that I shouldn't. He goes, so I got to figure out how I'm going to tackle this question. And they actually like, he stops talking for a little bit, and then the director takes over part of the conversation. They circle back. But in the documentary, I thought this was very interesting. And this is another thing that makes me think he's telling the truth, is that he calls the director and he's like, he leaves a message. He's like, hey, Jeremy, this is Bob Lazar. He's like, when you get this, text me. He goes, and let me know what's a good time to call you. Don't call me, I'll call you. So basically, I think what he was, he said that he wanted to meet with him to talk about something. And I think, this is a theory, I don't know, but this is what it seems like, is that he wanted to tell the director exactly what happened in 115 and have him encrypt it and keep it somewhere if anything would ever happen to him. So that at least it, that information was out there, because I think it's that sensitive and important, right? So there's a scene where he brings, they walk out in like the middle of the woods somewhere near his property. And he's like, basically how this is going to go is I'm basically going to let you talk. He goes, and I'm going to record it. He goes, but the audio in the documentary, he goes, is not going to be there. He goes, they won't be able to hear this. I'm going to take the audio and put it in an encrypted folder. He goes, so that it can't be accessed. He goes, and basically put it somewhere where nobody will have access to it. And he agreed to those terms. So he basically goes through the entire thing. And in the documentary, it's like you hear all this like weird like voices going super fast and quick, which are all distorted. And the video speeds up quick. It's like maybe like 7 seconds. And then it cuts to the end. And he's like, hold on a second. He's like, do you have your phone on you? And he was like, give me your phone. And he goes, shut off your phone. And he goes, I'm going to shut off my phone. He goes, and go put them over there. He goes, in like the in the woods over there. He goes, and come back. And then right after he does that, it says on the screen, right after this was filmed, Bob's apartment was raided by the FBI. So, and the conversation that they had in the woods, where it was just the two of them, was specifically referenced when the FBI actually raided his apartment. And so my question would be, how would they know about that conversation if they were in the middle of nowhere? Obviously, if their phones weren't off, maybe they were listening through their phones, because I believe they can fucking do that shit. They just don't admit it, right? I mean, like, all with, like, Siri and Alexa and shit. Yeah, people want to listen, cool. I mean, I don't give a shit if they listen to me. They can hear me talk about my fucking cat, right? But it's like, this guy has government-specific information that probably they want to know if he's talking about it, right? His apartment gets raided right after they're talking about it. The exact conversation is referenced. And he was like, they showed up.
Was the exact conversation referenced, or was it referenced that they were having a conversation?
No, like the woods? Specifics about the conversation were referenced that they wouldn't have known unless they were listening. And he said that they showed up to his workplace where he like makes all of his shit, and they went through everything. They went through his house. He goes, literally, they like tore my shit apart, you know, they say they were FBI. He goes, but there was like way too many people here. He goes, it was just like car after car.
You know
after
what
car.
I think?
So
this is my
opinion.
No, this is how I would envision this happening. Is they went out to the woods, they shut everything off, put it aside, right? And when they did that, him being a person of interest, it sparked the interest of the FBI, right? Mm-hmm. Or whoever, right? And they say, oh my God, this was the last place they were. He's doing this documentary. They're in the woods, right? So I also believe that they have the last known location of the devices or whatever, right? When they were powered on. I also believe that the government may not be able to, I don't know particularly if they can like listen to you and watch you through your phone without you like having like shit turned on and all that, right?
But why not? They can tap your phones without you knowing and literally print out conversations that you've had. Why can't they?
Well, because they can pull records.
Yeah, but they can do that live too.
Well, what I think they do live is I believe that they have like satellite shit going on. I believe that satellites have fucking ultra powerful fucking pickups, like laser pickups, probably something to do with that.
So like
that,
zoom in and just like witness the conversation from the fucking sky.
Just listen from the sky. Yeah. I believe that that's what they can do. I believe that's totally possible.
Yeah.
Like they can just,
that's
fucking
like
focus
enemy
in
of the state, like Will Smith shit. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I know they can just focus in and just be like, yep, I know exactly what they're saying, blah, blah, blah. And then just fucking automatically just be like, all right, well, let's get in on this and move in, right?
But if that's the case, why? But I mean, like, if there wasn't anything, pertinent in that conversation, why would his house get raided? Something must have been said that the government was like, okay, if he's in possession of this, we need to find it. Because the theory is that, like, and he's never really answered the question, is that he actually was able to get a element 115 off the base and is in possession of it. Like, that is one of the
things. But if element 115 is now a known thing, then what's the problem?
Because I think it's the fact that it was technically government property is the issue. And I don't think that they believe he could be. And if he did take that, what else does he maybe have in possession of? You know, so I think that might have been the question. I mean, yeah, could you have planned like a fake FBI raid for the documentary? Like, yeah, maybe. But they didn't show the FBI raid. They talked about it and referenced it. And it was like basically confirmed by other people. Who knows if they were lying? But I mean, like, there's just too many things about this guy. Like, and I've watched a lot of UFO shit, man. And there's a lot of people where I'm watching it and I'm like, yeah, that would be cool if it was real. But like, I have no way of verifying it. This guy seems like he's full of shit. But I want to believe in it, but I don't know. And this guy's the only dude where I'm just like, man, I don't think he's lying. It's the first dude.
The only thing is, man, like when there's like people who have witnessed the shit, like I want to see somebody get pulled in to witness something that is either credible to me or is like a known, like Joe Rogan, for example, right? If they were like, hey, Joe, got to show you something. And he witnesses something and comes back and he's just like, holy shit, what I just saw in real life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's... To me, that would be worthy of proof. But when you got like somebody I never heard of that comes in and is just like, or somebody who's a known like believer, right? Just like, yeah, I saw this, blah blah blah. It's like, and yeah, I saw it too. And it's like,
yeah, it's like a bunch. It's always like two fucking rednecks out in the middle of the woods that like, well, you wouldn't necessarily trust with shit anyway. So why are you gonna believe their bullshit UFO story?
Or like. I saw blah blah blah, and like, yes.
It's like, yeah, dude. I wouldn't talk to you on a regular day, so why am I gonna believe what you say?
Yeah.
I you know what it is, dude. It's like, I think like lately, like this has been like a big question with me, and like I don't give a shit if people fucking think I'm crazy. A lot of people probably think I already am from talking about all this stuff. But it's like when you talk about when this guy. Like, I've had these thoughts before, but, like, when I was listening to this guy, it was fucking, like, blowing my fucking mind. Like, I was telling everybody about this documentary. It was, like, he's, like, and like I said, I pretty much, like, I'm 98% convinced on this dude. He's, like, you know, as a scientist, he goes, the reason why I came forward is, one, to protect myself, and two, I feel like it's a crime against the scientific community that we have something... He goes, or multiple things that are definitely not from our solar system and are from another civilization. He's like, and we're not telling people about this. He goes, and that's a crime against science. And he goes, we should know about this. He goes, and it's not right that the government is keeping it from all of us. And they've known about it for years. And then he's like, and so that got me thinking. It's like, if this guy is actually telling the friggin' truth, and I pretty much believe that he is, that means that there is another civilization out there that has or has had advanced technology. And how does that affect everything you believe, if that's true? Like, everything. Like, if that is true, like, that, like, how does that question where you come from, what your purpose is? Like, is there, like... Like, my mind was going a million miles. Like, how does that affect religion, right? If we're supposed to believe that, like, you know, Jesus came down and died and came back and went up to, and you know, Easter and all that stuff. It's like, if we're supposed to believe all that and this Immaculate Conception shit, but then it's like, this actually ends up being confirmed. Like, that changes
everything. I was just talking about religion today, man. Like, it's...
Isn't it crazy though? Like, bro, if that's the case, like, that changes everything, dude.
Bro, I was raised a Catholic, man. I can't just believe in that shit, man. It's like you've got so many different beliefs, so many different religions.
So why is yours the one that is right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like, why is mine? Yeah. What makes me the one that's correct? You know what I mean?
Exactly,
so,
yeah.
So is there a higher power? Is there something out there that created us or whatever? Obviously, because nothing comes from nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we came from somewhere. Right. But you got to be careful about what you put your faith in. That's how I feel. I feel like you got to be careful about what you put your faith in,
mm-hmm.
because you got to be, I don't know, man. It's like, to me, it's like you're an intelligent human being, man. Mm-hmm. We're intelligent. We don't throw people into volcanoes anymore. You know what I mean?
Right.
To appease the gods. Right. But that's where all this shit started. That's where all this religion shit started, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's like, I look at it as a moral guideline, right? And yes, like everything that's in the Bible and everything that's in the Quran and everything that, you know, like the Buddhists believe and shit like that, all that stuff is all, if you think about it, it's all like a moral guideline. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily like, it's a blueprint for just being a good person.
Yeah.
And that's all you got to do is just be a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
be a good person, care about people, and give of yourself, and the universe gives back. You know what I mean? In whatever way, shape, or form. And it's mainly like because, you know, it's really hard to fucking dislike somebody who is doing all this likable shit. Like if you're doing good shit, it's hard to be disliked. You know what I mean? But you got to do it from a place of purity, man. And like that's all you got to worry about. I'm sorry. I went on this tangent about religion.
No, it makes complete sense. I mean, I'm with you. I've been having the same thoughts lately about a lot of stuff. And I just feel like, yeah, you do have to be extremely careful about what you believe in, because what you believe in defines in some sense who you are.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, if you can believe whatever you want, but I mean, it's like, and I'm not saying that I necessarily like believe that, like, you know, and that this guy is for real and like, holy shit, like aliens created. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying, like, if you literally think about that for a second, like just the shadow of it, just a 1% that this fucking guy is telling the truth. If he is telling the truth and he worked on this shit and it's not from here, holy shit.
Mm. What I do believe...
Holy shit.
What I do believe is that Bob Lazar is telling his truth.
Yeah.
I do believe that. I do believe that... I believe that he's not lying in the sense that he's making shit up. I think he truly believes everything that he's saying. I think that he is... He may not be 100% accurate on what he believes, mm-hmm. but he believes it.
I'll tell you one thing, man. You know what's really frustrating? I feel like with this UFO shit, it's like you could talk about this till you're blue in the face, but you're never going to know for certain. And I'm so sick of that. Like, I'm so sick of the conversation. Well, like, well, we don't know, though. Like, do you have proof? It's like, oh, it's fucking exhausting.
Well,
like,
that's the thing.
It fucking sucks, though.
Well, that's the thing. Why is there not...
Yeah, but it's the same thing with ghosts, man. It's this, you know, you could say the same shit about ghosts.
Yeah,
you could say
exactly.
The same thing about religion. It's like, there's no fucking proof.
But why is there not?
But there is, though. But it's like, there, I don't know, man.
No, but why is there not? But why is there not visual proof for everybody?
Well, you know, dude, what I mean? Because there is visual proof, but it's like, but it doesn't matter, because anytime somebody posts a fucking video or something that might actually be real,
no.
People say it's bullshit anyway. So,
no, listen,
whatever.
Like, you tell me, hey, dude. Ants are fucking real, bro. And I'd be like, yo, I saw an ant the other day. You're absolutely fucking right. So like, my point is, if somebody says, yo, ghosts, fucking real, bro.
Yeah.
You're like, 46 years old, I have not seen a ghost yet. I have not experienced a ghost yet. Dude, UFOs are real. Like, okay, 46 years old. I've seen science fiction. I've seen documentaries where people try to tell me that shit's real, but I have not seen not one piece of evidence. And I've looked, you know what I mean, in the sky.
Mm.
I don't keep my eyes averted from the sky. I don't look down all the time when I'm walking. I look up in the sky. I like the stars. I think the sky is beautiful.
Yeah.
Right? So so the reality is like 46 years on this planet and I haven't seen shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then there's, but then there's also like, you know, the Pentagon recently came out and was like, oh yeah, we've been investigating like alien aliens for the past like, you know, 20 years and like we've been investigating their like them visiting the Earth and flying into our atmosphere. And it's like, okay, so the Pentagon just fucking admitted that like they're investigating shit that comes into our atmosphere and they don't know what it is. But then like people are like, nah, the Pentagon's full of shit. It's like, okay, well, what do you need to hear? The Pentagon just fucking said it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck? It's like, dude, what do you need to fucking hear?
Because they're very vague, man. They're like, oh, we're investigating it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that means they're looking into something they don't understand. What is that coming? Whatever.
Right. No, exactly that, though. Ugh. We're looking into something we don't understand, which means that they don't know what they're looking at. You know what I mean? Yeah, they don't know if it's aliens. They don't know if it's a spaceship.
They don't know what they're looking at, but it's nothing.
No, I didn't say it's nothing. It's something. It could be something, but it might not be.
Yeah.
It could actually, the way light years work and the way that relativity works and shit like that, it could be something that happened thousands of years ago.
Yeah, we need Einstein to come back in and explain all this shit because I think we're all dumb.
Who?
Einstein.
Oh.
The theory of relativity.
No, but the reality is like it could be something that's thousands of years old and the light's just reaching us that we're seeing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
Like that's real.
Well, I don't know. We're going off topic a little bit as far as like, you know, the documentary. I mean, we kind of I think we talked about like everything.
Yeah, we got it.
You know what I mean? I would just say if this podcast is as you know, interested you, then you need to check out Netflix, Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. It's worth your time. It's great. And obviously, like I said, he was on the Joe Rogan podcast. That was pretty great, too. I'd love to have him on this podcast, but like he probably doesn't give a shit. So that pretty much does it for our finale, if that's how you want to say it. That's how people like to pronounce it sometimes. Episode. So we are going to be done with this season and the UFO topic. So some breaking news about how this podcast is going to continue for you listeners out there. So we're going to be switching formats. We're going to be going back to our original format, which is basically just kind of talking about what's current. You know, like, unfortunately, we're not going to do it this week, but maybe in like a couple weeks. For those of you that do not know all the information and stuff that happened and was released at San Diego Comic-Con, we can kind of go over that.
But we're going over that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of that stuff. But we're going to be kind of going back to our original format because that was not that this stuff isn't fun, but you can only go so far with it. And then we just kind of keep arguing, you know, that this may be true or may not be true. But there are a lot of topics out there that I feel like were great things we could have talked about and started a great dialogue on, but we didn't really have the chance because we're not discussing those things. So for any of you guys who started listening to us because you liked the phenomenon that we talked about, the UFOs and the ghosts, I would urge you to stick with us and see if you like our original format because we're still the same guys. We still have great conversation and hopefully you guys will stick around.
And we'll also, this isn't the end of us talking about supernatural stuff or weird things or having like these special, like, you know, we might have like a special one-off show. We might even have a two-parter or something like that. But I mean, it's just like you said, there's only so much we could do. I mean, like we did a couple of seasons where it was literally just, hey, I believe in this. And I'm like, it's bullshit. And it's like that. I mean, how many times can we do that? And it's not interesting to us. And it certainly shouldn't be interesting to you.
It's interesting, but after a certain amount of time, there's only so much time, so many times you can do that.
Yeah. Hey, Bigfoot, bullshit. Like it. It's real.
Loch Ness, bullshit.
Loch Ness, it's bullshit. I like it. It's real. Hey, explain UFOs. I can't, bro. They're bullshit. No, man, they're real, man. Dude, that's not what you sound like, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just, come on, man. We gotta talk about some stuff some other stuff. We want to get some other things in there. And plus, so much stuff has been happening.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, there's so many things to talk about that like I've been salivating.
Yeah, I know, here, I know,
like,
bro.
Like, God damn, I can't talk about any of this stuff because we're talking about UFOs. So, God damn UFOs.
But that's where we're going. So make sure to tune in. You know, we're going to take probably like a, sorry for the delay on this episode, but hey, newsflash, you guys know I had a kid. So that really slowed things down.
Yeah, that was,
I'm starting to get sleep again. So, bear with me, and we will in the next couple weeks we'll be back with our original format. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
Peace.
Later.
Thanks for listening to the Red Beard Podcast, which is part of the Nerd Ruckus Network. Please take a moment and like our Facebook page and share your thoughts on the episode, as well as what you would like to hear us discuss. Also, give us a follow on Red Beard Podcast and Nerd Ruckus on Instagram and Twitter. And check out nerdruckus.com for all of our entertainment channels.